Well, it's our great privilege to be gathered together again this evening to worship our great God, to sing His praise, and to hear His word. And it's the best use of our time, isn't it? And it's the thing that pleases Him the most, to come together like this as His people, as brothers and sisters of Jesus, in this holy place, to bring Him the praise of which He is worthy, and to be encouraged by that presence and by His word. Tonight we'll be using all three hymnals, and that keeps you awake, doesn't it? And I will begin with the favorite hymns of praise tonight. Favorite hymns of praise. And this one indeed begins on a note of praise. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love. And as we saw in Galatians this morning, how Jesus Christ and God the Father are always brought together. And here in this hymn, we praise God for His Son. And we praise God for His Spirit as well. And then this hymn of praise ends with a prayer that we might be revived. Hymn number 268 from the favorite hymn. How worthy you are to be praised. You sent the Son of your love to this earth, to the cross. You raised Him from the dead that we might be saved. There is so much for which to praise you. We thank you for the little blessings that are ours moment by moment and the big answers to prayer. We thank you for everything, but mostly for Jesus and salvation in Him. And so we come again tonight on this Lord's Day to worship you and to praise you and to hear your word and to know the presence of Jesus and to enjoy the fellowship of your people. We ask then that you might help us tonight, that you will encourage us, that you will lift burdens and you will show us Jesus, and that you will be greatly glorified in all that we do and Christ exalted. And this we pray, thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. Seated. Now to the Trinity Hymnal, 269. This morning we looked at the first few verses in Galatians and we saw truth about the church, how Jesus Christ and God the Father is the great sovereign over the church, and how there's a structure to it, authority and unity. But also there's a great supply. Jesus Christ supplies the church with grace and peace. And that's the emphasis in stanza 2. See the streams of living water springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. So our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father supplying us with all we need, grace and peace. 269 glorious things of thee are spoken. Jesus purchased it with his blood. We are his blood blood-bought children. And to love Jesus, the head, is to love the body. You can't love Jesus without loving his church. We are that church. 313 favorite hymns. To the future of the church. Sure as thy church shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield and brighter bliss of heaven. And to that brighter bliss of heaven we'll turn our thoughts now as we look into God's word and the book of Revelation and chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, which is a picture of the future of the church when we're gathered together in that heavenly place around the throne of God. Revelation chapter 7. We begin at verse 9. Revelation 7 and verse 9. Hear the word of God. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let us go to him together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you tonight for the throne of God. We thank you for the presence of the Lamb there. And we thank you that one day all of us will be brought there together, and we will be around that glorious, majestic, awesome throne. And we'll be there with the Lamb, and we'll look together at Jesus. He will look at us. We will embrace him, and he us, and we one another. What glory that will be. What perfection of love that will be. And we pray that our hearts would draw near to that place. And though it may be far away in time, we ask that in our hearts we would come close to there, and that we would even long to be together in that holy place, that perfect place, where the throne is and where the Lamb is. We thank you, too, that those who will be there were from and are from every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, from all over the earth. They will come and they will be there together before the throne. We'll meet people we've never known before. And we'll all be brothers and sisters together in Jesus. And we thank you that it's a reality. There are some even there now. There are many who have gone before us. And we thank you that even as a great cloud of witnesses, they've gone before us. And they know that we will be there too because of Jesus and his blood and all that he's done for us in his death and resurrection. And so tonight, we're so very thankful for what awaits us. And we pray that in the meantime, our gatherings here might be something of heaven upon earth. Grant it, we pray, draw us near to our Savior and to each other. And help us to do the things in this life that would bring him glory. And that we'd be willing to face the enemy and fight battles for him. And do all that would please him. Until we stand together on that day, in that place, forever together with him. We're thankful tonight and pray that there might be heavenly blessings for us from that place to this place by your grace through our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Final hymn. It's from the Christian hymns. He began singing a hymn of praise with the refrain, "Revive us again." What the church needs is revival. That's what you and I need as individuals. That's what our church needs. It's what every church needs. It's what the church around the world needs. Revival. When revival comes, things happen. And there's power. An increase in power. There's an increase in love. We are more like Christ in times of revival. And here is a prayer for revival to come to his church, to us. Hymn number 374. O breath of life, that's the Holy Spirit, come sweeping through us. There is a page turn, there are four stanzas. 374 Christian hymns. O breath of life.
Oh, breath of life, come sweeping through us.
turn to God's Word and the Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verses 4 through 6, 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Pew Bible, page 1064 in the Pew Bible. Hebrews 4:14, hear God's word. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. Gracious Father, our great need tonight is to hear your word and to understand it. And we pray that your spirit would open our hearts to it and our understanding and our wills. May we be given totally to Jesus tonight, to obedience, to submission, to love, to service, to all that he is worthy that we should have, because of all that he is to us. And we'll thank you as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This morning, as we looked at the supply of the church, found it includes grace and peace. And the emphasis in this particular verse is on grace. Let me say to you tonight that grace is what we need. Grace is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Grace is God giving to us what we need at any particular moment, and it's a supernatural supply. There are many things we can do in our own strength. There are many things that our neighbors can do. Our neighbors can love their families and do good deeds. But we have a supernatural supply. We have a divine ability to do things beyond what is merely human. And in times of difficulty and times of great distress, we can overcome the most trying times of life by grace. Grace is a supernatural supply that God gives for us to be able to do what we need to do and be what we need to be in every situation. So then grace is what we need. And grace is what God is about. I think we can put it that way. As we look at this particular text, grace is what God is about, because he's on a throne, and his throne, where he sits, is a throne of grace. We read, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. God sits upon grace. And so we can say that grace is what God is about. He himself is gracious, and he has grace to give. And tonight you can be thankful that God is gracious. You can be thankful that he's the God of all grace. You can be thankful that he deals with us in grace. Salvation is by grace. We don't earn it. It's a gift. Sanctification is by grace. The meeting of our needs, supply of our needs is by grace. Everything is by grace, freely given to us, because we in ourselves can't do anything. We can't save ourselves. We can't sanctify ourselves. We can't make ourselves holy. We can't even obey in our own strength. We need grace for everything. Grace is what we need. Grace is what God supplies, because grace is what God is about. Notice that we do not come to a throne of judgment. Isn't that something to bless you with tonight? We don't come to a throne of judgment. We come to a throne of grace. God does not sit on his throne waiting to scold us or to berate us or to knock us down or to judge us. He sits on his throne waiting to be gracious. There was that wonderful passage we read from Isaiah 30 this morning. He waits to be gracious. And God waits to be gracious to you. So there is this throne of grace, and we can go there. I want to look at this text and look at some of the words and the phrases. And the verse tells us when we go there. When do we go to this throne of grace? And he speaks in the end of the verse of the time of need. A time of need. It can also be translated the time of opportunity, or just when it's needed most, or something along those lines. In other words, when the time comes that we need something from God, that's the time to go to that throne of grace. Now, there's a sense in which there's never a time when we do not need something. We are needy people. It's the nature of creatures to be needy. We are by nature dependent on God. We depend on him for every breath we take. It is the nature of creatures to be needy, and it is the nature of sinful creatures to be especially needy in our innate sinfulness. We need his help and forgiveness. But there are times when our need is more real than at other times. There are critical times in life when we need to go to the throne of grace. Times of temptation, for instance. Times of doubt. Times of discouragement. Times of crisis. Times of tragedy. We all know such times. And when the crisis comes, we go to the throne of grace. Where else do we go? Would you want to go to a psychiatrist? Would you want to go to a fellow human being who's also going through a crisis of his or her own? Well, we go to the throne of grace. That's the best place to go in the time of need. The Apostle Paul speaks of the evil day in that listing of the armor of God there in Ephesians. He talks about standing in the evil day. Now, there's evil in every day, but there's some days more evil than others. There's the evil day when Satan seems to come with great power to tempt us to sin and to discourage us and to bring doubts into our minds. These evil days, we need the armor of God. In times of need, we need the throne of grace. So we can be thankful tonight that in your time of need, you can go to the throne of grace. What's our basis for going there? We need a basis. We need a warrant. We're sinful creatures. What's our basis for going to the throne of grace where God sits? Well, our basis is found in that word, therefore. Look again where it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And that word therefore refers us to the previous verse, verse 15, which says this, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Who's he speaking of? He's speaking of Jesus Christ. Here again is that juxtaposition of God the Father and Jesus. Verse 15 speaks of Jesus Christ then as our high priest. Because we have Jesus, we can therefore come to the throne of grace. Jesus Christ then is our great mediator. He is the one who brings us to the throne of grace. He is the one through whom we come to the Father. He is our warrant. He is a mediator. That's what a high priest is and does. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. His mediation, his sympathy. It says he cannot be, he's one who is touched with the feeling of our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be weak. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be scorned. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows all these things because he was here. He is a man who walked here. And he experienced all the things that you and I experience in this life. He knows what it is to need grace. He knows what it is to need help. We read that in those 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, he was hungry. We read the wild beasts were with him there. And when the time was over, when those 40 days were over, the angels came and ministered to him. He needed help. And often, as a man, he needed help. And God gave him that help. That's why he's so sympathetic to you and me. He knows what it's like to have needs. He knows what it's like to be so tired after a hard day's work that when he's in the boat, he falls asleep on a pillow. And even though the winds blow and the waves pour in, he sleeps. He's so tired. He knows what it's like to be exhausted, this great high priest. He's sympathetic to you and me and our needs. So because he's sympathetic, he is willing to take us to the throne of grace. There's no doubt about that. Jesus is willing because he is so sympathetic. Now, we could not go to the throne of grace without him. But through him, we can go at any time with any request. So that's the basis. He's our warrant. We go therefore. We go because we have a high priest who'll take us there. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray in his name. We pray in the name of Jesus because it reminds us that we go through him to the Father. Now, what is the manner of our going to the throne of grace? Look what he says. We go with boldness. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, we don't need to be afraid to go to God. We don't need to be afraid to pray. Never think, oh, I'm too unworthy to go to the throne of grace. That's what the devil wants you to think. Did you ever feel a need to pray, and then there was this thought into your heart, oh, you're so unworthy. You are so unfaithful. You're so sinful. What did you do just a half hour ago, and you're going to go to the throne of, you're going to pray? What kind of a man are you? What kind of a woman are you? We think, oh, I'm too unworthy to come, but that's the devil telling you that. Jesus bids you come. He's our great high priest, full of sympathy. Sometimes you say, I'm too unworthy, I'm too sinful to come. That's the devil telling you that. Sometimes we might say, oh, my need is really not as significant as those of other people. Other people have greater needs than I have. Why should I go there? And we belittle our needs. Sometimes we say, oh, my request is too small, or it's too large. Why would he be concerned with me if my request is too small, and it's just too large even for him? That's almost blasphemous to think there's something that God can't do or some situation that he can't take care of. Sometimes we say, oh, I must wait. until I'm more holy. But we'll never be holy enough. Perfection doesn't come till we arrive at the holy place in heaven. No, we come boldly. Never be afraid to come. Come with boldness, with confidence, with freedom, because you have a high priest who will take you there. Jesus will take you there. No matter what your condition, he'll take you to the throne of grace. Let not conscience make you linger, nor for fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. So we go with boldness. Hebrews 4:16. And then notice there's an invitation. Notice how it's put here. Let us come. That's an invitation. We're being invited to come to the throne of grace. The Holy Spirit, through the writer here, is inviting us to come. Let us come, he says. And what an invitation this is. It's an encouragement to us to come to God, to this gracious God, to this throne of grace. Now, there's something startling about this. Grace, by the way, is startling. It's amazing. It's unexpected. It's unusual. It's, of course, undeserved. That's what grace is by nature. It's undeserved favor, unmerited. It's nothing that we ought to have by nature, but God gives it to us. That's why grace is startling. And that's why all the man-made religions of the world know nothing about grace. Grace is peculiar to the Christian revelation because God is gracious in Jesus Christ. But why is it all so startling, this invitation to come? Because it's a throne to which we come after all. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And while it is a gracious God to which we come, for whom we come, we remember that he is on the throne. God sits on the throne as the sovereign of the universe, as the creator of all things, as the one who is infinite in holiness. Now, who would ever want to come near such a place as that? Sinners that we are, we know our weaknesses, our failures, our sins. We're ashamed of our sins. He's on a throne. He's holy. He's infinite in majesty. He's the sovereign of the universe. Why would we sinful creatures, want to get near that place? Well, because though it's a throne, it is the throne of grace. And he who sits on it is gracious. And he wants us to come. And Jesus brings us. And we are invited. And I remind you that we are all invited. Every believer is invited. And it doesn't matter what your need is. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter what your failures are. It doesn't matter how ignorant you are. Nothing matters but your need. You come because Jesus will take you. And what are the benefits of going to the throne of grace? He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What are the benefits? Grace and mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is God dealing with creatures who are weak. It's giving us strength in our weakness. It is dealing with creatures who are sinful. It is giving us forgiveness. That's what mercy is. It extends to those who are poor in themselves. And that's why verse 15 is about the mercy that we need. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. There's the word weakness. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Weakness, temptation, sin. That's why we need mercy. The mercy that extends to us in our weakness and gives us strength and in our sin and gives us forgiveness. And then there's grace, which we've spoken of already. It's the ability to do what we cannot do ourselves. It's really whatever help we need. That's grace. And so what an incentive to go to the throne of grace. Grace is what you need. Grace is what is given. Because God is gracious. And Jesus is sympathetic. And he can bring you there. So my encouragement to you tonight is indeed to go to the throne of grace. Don't think of prayer as simply a religious exercise. Don't think of prayer as something that you have to do. Don't think of prayer as something that's so very difficult. Think of it this way. There's God on the throne, and he's your Father. And he's gracious. And he can do anything. And he wants you to come to him. And Jesus is there to help you and to bring you. Jesus who died for you. Jesus who rose for you. Jesus who suffered for you. Jesus who sympathizes with you. Think of prayer that way. Think of it as going to this gracious God who is your Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, who became our Savior through his dying and is our friend and brother. That's what prayer is. So go to the throne of grace through Jesus. May God grant us to know such grace as will indeed amaze us and startle us even in our time of need. Let us pray. Gracious Father, how we thank you tonight that you are indeed gracious. And we call you gracious, Father, because that's what you are. And we thank you that your throne is a throne of grace, not of judgment. And we thank you that you have mercy and grace for us. And whatever our need may be, you can supply it. And we pray tonight that you might encourage us all to go to you, to go with our needs and our requests. And there's much about prayer that we don't understand and maybe we'll never understand. Much mystery about it. And yet we know that you are gracious. And Jesus is a high priest. And Jesus is sympathetic. And he will take us. And so we pray then that among the many things you do for us, we pray that you will give to us such desire as to pray and to seek you. And such incentive by this particular invitation to go to your throne of grace through Jesus, that we might have what we need from you. And as you grant us requests, and as you give us grace, and as you strengthen us in our weakness, we'll have much cause for thanks and for praise and for encouragement to others. And so do grant it, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close with the Trinity Hymnal. And hymn number 531. Trinity Hymnal 531. Upon my soul thy suit prepare, Jesus loves to answer prayer. Just in case you are unfamiliar with the old English language here, the word suit is not something we wear, but it's the old word for request. And we bring him then a request, our suits. Come my soul thy suit. By request, prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. 531. benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide. Amen.